Well, good afternoon, everyone. Well, I'm glad he didn't drink any of this. This is gin. I'm kidding. I remember one of our ministers used to do that. Long time ago. You know what? It's going to be hard to follow that sermon. That was very, very good. My boy, I'm very proud of. Anyway, what is Jesus doing now, today? What is Jesus doing? And what has he been doing since his resurrection? And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on the resurrection. And we all know that Jesus is with us in spirit today. Brethren, Jesus is on the job, standing ready to intervene in our lives today, to deliver us from any troubles that we may get into, to help us in overcoming all of our problems. Jesus is with us today. Not only is Christ preparing to return soon to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as such, he makes it possible for us to have contact with the Almighty God. Jesus is going to be here as our high priest. And God is the source of everything good and perfect. I'd like to open up with James 1. James 1, we're going to read verse 17 and 18. James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Do you realize that previous to Christ's first coming, people did not pray to God? People didn't pray to God the Father. People did not know him personally, as we should today. Any real relationship people had with God was with the Eternal through Jesus Christ. He's the one, the Eternal became Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who created the earth. Jesus is the one who sent the flood, who dealt with Moses and Israel and the prophets. Jesus is the one who inspired David. Some 2,000 years ago, became human, a human being right here on this earth. Jesus is the one. He came here to die in our place, brethren. Jesus is the one that did that. I'd like to turn back to John 1:1. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. You all know that already. I know. We're going to read it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was, in the beginning, with God. All things were made through him, as I just read. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. I want to read verse 14 also. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So we see that Jesus has been dealing with humanity since creation, since Adam and Eve, since before that. Jesus has been dealing with us. And in so doing, he has been fulfilling the will of God the Father. To understand what Jesus is doing now, we must understand something about the relationship between Jesus and his Father. So, two great beings. There's unity. There's unity with them. The Bible shows that God the Father is the supreme authority. Turn to John 14. We'll read verse 28 to 31. John 14, verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Let's go ahead and turn back to John 5. John 5, we're going to read verse 19 and 20. Oops. John 5, verse 19, and Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Sounds to me like that they're pretty close, doesn't it? So we see there is perfect unity between the two of these great beings who make up the Godhead. Jesus does whatever the Father does. We just read that. Father tells him, then he does it. Let's consider for a moment just how great the unity in the God family is. If you will turn to Amos 3, verse 3. Amos 3, verse 3. Somebody took Amos out of my Bible. No, it's just that I'm all thumbs today. It's here. I know it is. Did y'all find it yet? Amos 3, verse 3. It's a very short verse. It says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And we just read how God the Father and Christ do agree and they are in unity. Brethren, if two walk together unless they agree, they're probably not going to walk together very long. Because as they go down this road, that's what I'm going to say. As they walk down this road, you know, and they're probably the conversation is not in unity. And they're going to drift apart. God the Father and Jesus Christ never has drifted apart. The two members of the God family have been walking together from eternity. They have been walking together forever. They have never drifted apart. And they're still walking together today. Why? Because there isn't the slightest disharmony between them. Not the slightest. And these two people that I was talking about, walking together, somewhere down the road, they're going to be a disagreement. They have the same plans. They share the same outlook on life. They uphold the same principles. And, of course, their way of life, which should be our way of life now. One of Jesus' missions during his life on earth was to reveal the Father. If you turn to John 17, John 17, we're going to read verse 25 and 26. John 17, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Did you notice to whom Jesus revealed the Father? Did he reveal him to the world? No, he didn't. He revealed them to the disciples. He revealed them to God's church, his church. Brethren, you know what? That's you and I. We are God's church. And as amazing as it may seem, the world still does not know the real God, the Father, any more than it knew him in the Old Testament times. Neither does it know the authority of Jesus Christ today. Doesn't know that. I want to turn back to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, read verse 17. Matthew 11, verse 17. I'm going to read verse 16 too. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. That's just like these people up here. You know, they don't even realize the true God, because you know why? Satan is the God of this world right now. God the Father decides who shall understand the truth and who won't understand the truth. He knows who is blinded and who's not. And once God the Father has chosen his children, he draws them and gives them Jesus, whose responsibility, Jesus' responsibility, and heavy it is. His responsibility is very heavy today, brethren. So we can better understand exactly what Jesus as high priest is doing for us today if we keep in mind the general plan of the physical tabernacle set up in ancient Israel. Its design and the way it was laid out are rich in meaning, very rich in meaning. The tabernacle itself was divided into two compartments. The holy place where the priests and ministers, and the blocked off place, the veil, the holy of holies. And only the high priest was allowed to go through the veil into the holy of holies. And brethren, that high priest that was only allowed to go there once a year on a day of atonement. So what was in the Holy of Holies? The golden mercy seat, picturing the very throne of God. In other words, no one but the high priest was allowed to go in at that time. And who was the high priest? Jesus Christ was the high priest. Jesus is the true high priest. He has access to the throne of God, the Father. And he sits right now at the right hand of God. So Jesus is our high priest. And we got to think about, brethren, the advantage we have today. The advantage, thanks to Jesus. We have not only the privilege of talking to God through our prayers. Today we can go straight to God in our prayers today. But we also have the holy high priest, and you know who it is, who ministers for us in so many different ways. And he intercedes for us today, lending his merits to our prayers. You know, when you're finished praying, you say, in Jesus' name. Even our best efforts are so often imperfect, and we know that. Some of our best prayers are often imperfect, and God knows that, and Jesus knows that. Jesus' shed blood covers all our iniquities upon our repentance. Upon our repentance. Through Jesus, we are acceptable to God. Through Jesus. This portrayed by the service in the physical tabernacle of old. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he wore a gold plate on his hat at the top of his forehead. And there is where it would be most visible to the great God seated between the cherubims. On that plate were engraved the words, holiness to the Lord. And that's what the eyes of God focused on. God didn't look for faults in the offerings, nor for shortcomings in human beings that were represented. Had he done so, he would have found many shortcomings. Instead, he looked at the holiness represented by the high priest. God looks to Jesus, and Jesus helps us in everything we do, all of our prayers. Jesus helps us. Jesus was sinless because of his righteousness. When he brings our prayers and offerings before the Father, God sees his faultless Son, the true holiness to the Lord. And our sincere efforts, imperfect as they may be, as I said before, they are accepted by God the Father. Jesus gives us permission to pray directly to God the Father. Sees it is in Jesus' name, of course. When we pray to our Father, Jesus stands behind our prayers. Jesus is there today, helping us. Jesus was once human himself, and he knows what we have to struggle with or what we have to go up against today. Jesus knows that. He is able to express our feelings to the Father. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, we're going to read verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, Jesus is there to help us today and every day. So among us who never has a time of need, why face it alone? Brethren, why? We don't have to face it alone, brethren. Jesus is our advocate. That means he speaks in our behalf. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Christ is the God with us. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He does more, very much more, brethren, for us. We pray to God the Father, but Jesus can and will answer prayers also. Jesus will answer our prayers also. We know that God is the creator of all things, yet it was Jesus who did the creating, as we learned earlier. Turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. Verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I want to turn back to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, we're going to read verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10. Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, and this is Paul talking, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. God created all things through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So God gives the Holy Spirit, and Jesus sends it. God spoke, but he spoke through Jesus, as we just read. God did miracles. He did wonders and signs, but he did them through Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, read verse 57 and 58. First Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As Jimmy was talking about your crown, you cannot leave it. If you walk out here and leave your crown on the seat, someone will come in and pick it up. Take your crown. We can't allow that to happen. Jesus so perfectly fulfills the will of his Father that it may be said that if Jesus does it, the Father wills it. And of course, vice versa, the other way around. God has total confidence in his Son, Jesus. If any of us wish to be sons and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, we'll read verse 17. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I'm going to turn over to verse 32. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, God the Father must know that we will do his will. He must know that. That our actions and our motions, our motives, and our thoughts and desires, all that is us, will express the perfect reflection of God's will. It must become an automatic equation that if we do this, if we think or say something, it goes without saying that God the Father wills it and approves it. Watch what you say and think. God will approve it. I'm going to turn to John 8. I'm not going to turn. I'm just going to read. John 8, verse 29, if you want to write that down. It's a very, very short verse. It says, Jesus says, I always do the things that pleases God. John 8, 29. And I'm going to ask you, brethren, can we say that same thing? Can we say, I always do the things that pleases God? At this point, some may throw up their hands and exclaim, well, it's not humanly possible to come to that degree of conversion. And you know what, brother? They're very, very right. It is not humanly possible to come to that type of conversion. But you know what? With God's help, we can come to that type of conversion. Not humanly, though, but it's got to come from Christ. We must let Christ be formed in us. And it doesn't happen overnight, brethren. And we all sitting here know that. It doesn't happen overnight. It is an ongoing process that must be taking place in our lives. Every day, every night. It's got to be taking place in our lives every day and every night. We don't need to fight our battles alone. And a lot of people think they're doing that alone. But you don't need to, brethren. You got Christ to help you fight your battles. Don't need to trust in our own wisdom and strength. And we don't need to carry burdens and anxiety and worry alone. Let Christ take part of that. Let Christ help us in that area. Jesus is on the job right now, brethren, helping us in everything that we do, everything that we say. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. As shepherds are out in the field, and you know the sheep know their shepherds, and they will follow them. Jesus is our shepherd. He's our Redeemer. He's our counselor that we should call on when we need help. He's our guiding light. We know we could go on and on about what he is for us. What Jesus is doing right now for us. That was the question. We need to get to know both Jesus and God the Father much better than we do now. We need to be to learn to be at one with them as they are with each other in unity. They are with each other. My last scripture is John 17. You want to turn back to John 17. We'll read verse 20 through 23. John 17, verse 20 through 23. I do not pray for these alone, but for also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Unity, brethren. Christ loves us. And if we do what he wants us to do, if we obey his commandments, Christ will be with us. Brethren, he is with us. So after all this, can we still ask that question? What is Jesus doing now? Can you ask that question?